And a very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to the Message of Truth. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to teach you a message of truth. We also encourage you to watch our TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all of these MP3 files and our radio files. You also find our TV videos under Bible videos under the special tab tab in our website. You can download them and look at them at your leisure. And there's a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We encourage and invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire, show you need for God in your life, and you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to call upon us. We've been studying the book of 1 Peter, and we are looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 21. We are talking about the subject of being holy as He is holy. Now we want to make application of what it means to be holy as He is holy. First of all, we need in this application, we need to be separate. To understand exactly how we carry that out, let us read together from 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'll be reading beginning in verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Or what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You see, what fellowship has righteousness with iniquity? Or we need to come out and we need to be separate. To be separate means we can't live like the world, we can't talk like the world, we can't think like the world, and we can't keep our focus on the world. We have to be separate. We march to the beat of a different drum. And if we're going to be holy in our conduct, we're going to have to be separate from the world, from its teaching, from its attitudes, from its character, and from the things that they do that are contrary to God's will. We must oppose those things, abstain from them, and put on a holy character more in line with the commandments and the plans that God has for His people. But to do that, we must be servants of righteousness. In Romans chapter 6, we're going to read some passages, first beginning in verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How can any who die to sin live any longer therein? When you and I became a Christian, dear listener, when you become a Christian, you die to sin. You put sin to death, Colossians 3, 5 through 10. You put the old man of sin away, Colossians 3, 1 through 5. And you put on the new man that's created in Christ Jesus. But let's go back to Romans chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered. and having been set free from sin, you became the slave of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to moral lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. But what fruit did you have in these things, which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God and have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Do you see here, dear listener, that we are to be servants of righteousness? We cannot continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbids that. Christians are instruments of righteousness. We live according to the laws of God, according to the dictates of our Savior, and we are to be separate, and we are to live lives that are in accordance with His holy and divine will. Now, let us go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Perfects holiness in the fear of God. Holiness begins with setting our hope on God's grace to be manifested at the coming of Jesus, according to verse 13. And according to verse 14, through obedience, not conforming ourselves to former lust, not going back to the paths of sin, but being obedient to God and not when we were ignorant of His will. And then in verse 15 and 16, holiness calls for sanctification in all manners of our life, to be sanctified, wholly set apart, and completely to do the Lord's service. And according to verse 17, and you called on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Holiness grows out of a respect, a godly reverence for the Creator, who called us by the gospel into the sanctification of the Spirit, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. Holiness is the spiritual result of redemption. Redemption is being bought back from sin. Listen to the words of Peter again. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, or from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, and so that your faith and hope are in God. Notice, holiness is a spiritual result of redemption through the blood of Christ, by which men were purchased, by which they become the property of God. You're not your own. Read 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Notice, in this text, it was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Before God said, let there be light, he had an eternal plan. That eternal plan had at its centerpiece the death of his only begotten Son, who would die for the sin of the world, who would give his life as a ransom for many, to pay the penalty for our sin. And that was determined before the world was ever created, that God's Son would die for the sins of the world. And these were manifest in these last times. How? By our belief in God, who raised him from the dead, to demonstrate that we have a hope over death and to give us courage to live the kind of life that we will have faith in God, hope in God, and we will live a holy life that is in accordance with his holy and divine will. You see, the goal of our lesson in this lesson on holiness is to lay the foundation for further and more specific studies in our discussion of lust that will come up in the lessons that we will look at down the road. We must resolve, and we hope to create in this study a resolve in the hearts of all of us to measure up to the standard of God Himself, to seek to be holy as He is holy, to separate our lives to the spiritual standards that God has called upon us through His Word. The full definition and understanding of holiness can only come through a lifetime of study, to grasp and to grow in the fullness of sanctification and consecration to be used by God in His service. Let me try to sum up these two lessons that we have demonstrated in the subject of being holy. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to live a special type of life. We are to live a life that people look at us and can see Christ Jesus living in us. We are to live a type of life that people will look to us and will understand that we live for the King, that we are part of a special family, and a special family that has special responsibilities. And those responsibilities have to do with living a kind of life that will compel people that there's a better way to live for God. We need to understand that we are God's examples. We are the people that are to exemplify to a world lost and dying in sin what it means to be a child of God, to walk in the path of the King, to do the things that would allow others to see the light of the gospel in our lives, that God may be glorified. Read Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. We are the light and the salt of the earth. We must exemplify that by living a holy and righteous character. That cannot be accomplished if you live like the world, talk like the world, think like the world, and do things the way that the world does them. You cannot be holy as your Master is. He will not accept us unless we strive to be holy as He is holy. You know, we're not talking about sinless perfection. We're not talking about never making a mistake. What we are suggesting and what God is demanding is that we strive for perfection, that we strive to be holy, that we strive to live by a different standard, that we strive to do things in a different way in order that God may be glorified. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, that I had made reference a few moments ago, Jesus in the Great Sermon on the Mount said that we are to exemplify Him by being the salt and light of this world. Why? Because people are in spiritual darkness. They're groping. They don't know where they're going. They're aimlessly going through life without any purpose, without any understanding of what's at the end. Why? Because they have not put on the holy character of God. You know, too many people think that holiness is not possible. It's not only it is possible, it is demanded by God. We have to be holy as He is holy. That can only be accomplished by applying the truths that are contained in the Bible in order to make us live lives that are in accordance with His will and His purposes and exemplify His holy character. Dear listener, what does your life say? What does the example of your life teach? Are you consecrated to God's service? Are you living a life that people can see Christ living in you? Do you walk to the beat of the drum of the world or to the beat that you can find in the pages of God's Word? If we're going to ever attain heaven, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have holy character, and we're going to have to strive to be holy by the things that we say and the things that we do. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's the aim. That's the goal. Let us put our shoulder to make sure we can accomplish it. Thank you for listening. We hope you tune in again next Lord's Day. Please come and worship with us. Have a very